Welcome to Death Holler, Season 5, When Bad Animals Go Bad. With your hosts, the Reverend Dr. Death and Lyrena. This season will include love.
Do you know how your husband died?
Oh, yes. I killed him.
Transformations. And certified good boys and girls.
Cujo, what are you growling at?
Remember, when you're in Death Holler, listener discretion is always advised.
Perfect, go bad, dang!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Death. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Lyrena. In this episode, we are covering Piranha 3 Double D from 2012. Tagline, double the action, double the terror, double the Ds.
I mean, I can't argue. It works.
I mean, it's pretty good.
It's funny.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Directed by John Gulager, written by Patrick Melton, Marcus Dunstane, and Joel Sosan, music by Elia Simriel. Budget of $7.5 million. It only made $8.5 million, and that was mostly worldwide, in particular Malaysia.
Wow. Okay, and notice that it looked a million times better, but it had a budget a third of what the original film was.
It did, and we'll get into that and visually, but there's a few things about how this looks that one of the things they saved on is the setting, but we'll get into that a little bit too. But I mean, still, they did well with what they had. Principal players, we have Danielle Panabaker playing Maddie, who's the 49% owner in the water park. She was probably most known to a lot of people for being the CW's The Flash. She played Killer Frost in an alternate version of that show. Or that reality. She was in the Friday the 13th remake,
nice,
which we both like. She was in Sky High, and she was in a movie called Flight of the Living Dead, which is probably terrible. I mean, if it's zombies on a plane, so
probably terrible.
Get those motherfucking zombies off this motherfucking plane. We have Matt Bush playing Barry, who is the scent best friend, and he isn't gay. That was a question that Daniel Panabaker had to, you know, have for him. He was in the Goldbergs. He was in a lot of the episodes of that. And he was in Adventureland with Eisenberg, whatever his name is, that played Lex Luthor and, you know, the Man of Steel, but Jesse Eisenberg. We have Katrina Bowden playing Shelby, who's vagina dentata in this movie. If somebody's sick and then they're begging you to fuck them, I mean, even if you come out with no piranha attached to your dick, you might have some burning after.
Yeah.
She was the hot chick in Tucker and Dale versus Evil, though. She was girl that they fell in, or one of them fell in love with. And then, she was in the movie Sex Drive. So, we have John Luke, Bilodeau playing Josh, who is the piranha. He gets a piranha circumcision. He was in Trick or Treat. He's the one that played Schrader, who was kind of the teenage kids or whatever. He was the one that convinced the little autistic witch girl to come out on the trip. And then, he betrayed her. So she left him in the bottom of the pit to be eaten by a bunch of undead, you know, special needs children, we'll say.
Yeah, well, you know, we can't, we don't blame her.
No, he deserved it. David Koechner plays Chet, 51% owner in the water park and a complete douchebag. And of course, keeping with the theme of these movies, they had Adam Scott in the last one from, you know, Krampus. Now we've got, you know, David Koechner in this one from Krampus. Also an Anchorman, you know.
Never heard of those films.
Nope. We didn't cover one of them at all for this.
God, was that our first season?
Yeah, thankfully, that episode, unlike Legend, survived.
Oh, come on. One day
we're going to re-record that at some point.
Oh, God. I think Sailor wants to watch that film. My tattoo artist is always trying to do voices from it, and he's like, yeah, you get it, don't you? You get it. And I'm like, oh, my God, please don't. This is bad memories.
Chris Zilka plays Kyle, the dirty cop, Maddie's ex. He was in The Amazing Spider-Man and a movie called Shark Night, which we're not covering this season, but sounds like it would fit in this season. David Hasselhoff plays himself, and the Hoff was hassled in this movie. he's obviously known for Baywatch, but, you know, if you're a little bit older, he was also a Knight Rider.
Never heard of him.
Christopher Lloyd plays Mr. Goodman again, YouTube sensation in this movie and fish expert. He does have more views than the dancing diarrhea baby. You know. And of course, again, Back to the Future and amongst other things. Paul Scheer plays Andrew, who's recovering from trauma. And he was in the League and How Did This Get Made podcast, which talks about shitty movies, which is probably why they wanted him in this, because, I mean. And Ving Rhames comes back as Deputy Fallon. Somehow he survived, even though he had piranhas. And the last thing we saw in Piranha 3D, he was being, you know, they's all surrounding him, and he fell into the water. But apparently he made it out. Now he's got titanium shotgun legs. And
not as hot as the chick in what movie am I thinking?
You're thinking of it's not Planet of the Dead. It's Planet something Terror? Like that. Planet Terror, yes. Planet Terror. Yeah. She had a machine gun / bazooka, or, you know, like grenade launcher, but he has a shotgun, mm-hmm. So there's that.
And two of them.
And he's obviously, he was in Dawn of the Dead remake, which we both loved. So there's that. Gary Busey plays Clayton, who doesn't like farting dead cows, and he really doesn't like buttered sausages. So don't ask him about those.
Buttered sausages? I don't want to know.
It's a whole thing. If you look, Gary Busey, I don't know what he was talking about at the time, but it was like he basically was like, he's like, buttered sausage, let's talk about them, why I hate them, why they're not good. Like, it's just, I don't know. He used to talk about drinking his own urine because it helped sterilize his mouth. Like, I mean, weird dude. And then we have Clue Gulager, who is, you know, actually the father of the director. And he's also playing a character named Mo, who's around the farting dead cows at the beginning of the movie. Synopsis. 1 year after the late Victoria massacre and a subsequent eradication campaign that had left the community decimated, the residents of nearby Cross Lake are having their own problems with prehistoric piranha. It seems the fish have somehow used underground caverns to migrate upstream, and they have an attraction to chlorine, which is a big problem for the big wet water park. Will Maddie convince her stepdad, Chet, to close the water park before the killing begins? Will Shelby recover from the trauma of carrying a piranha downstairs? And finally, it's Barry Gay. Other taglines: terror lurks where you least expect it, twice the teeth, twice the terror, nobody is safe.
I do like that one.
There's something fishy down there.
That is awful.
And then, of course, twice the terror, double the D's. Quotes, Maddie. Chet, tell me you did not fire lifeguards and replace them with strippers. Chet, water certified strippers.
Oh my God.
Shelby, Josh cut off his penis because something came out of my vagina. And she just randomly says it to to Barry. And, like, I mean,
while she's covered in blood.
While she's covered in blood down there, especially. Andrew, how the hell did you buy that shotgun leg? And then Deputy Fallon, with the money I saved on socks. Oh. That's actually a pretty good line, I gotta admit. And then, of course, David Hasselhoff at the very end of the movie, little ginger moron.
I know that was your favorite line.
I know. Yes, it was. That kid deserved it, though. So, I mean, I don't blame him. All right, visually. This movie's visually better than 3D. Oh, yeah.
It's a million times better. It's about $24 million better.
The fish are puppets, so they actually interact. They're good-looking puppets at that. They actually have one in bright daylight in front of one of Danielle Pennebaker that they beat to death, and it looks fine. The one inside of the fish tank that Christopher Lloyd has looks good. The setting, the water park setting is a downgrade in the sense from the lake, so they did lose some visuals there. I mean, as far as just like exterior visuals, but the water park looks fun. I mean, it's fine. It's, you know, it actually is a good save on budget, and because they didn't have to get boats and stuff. The other side of it is, too, this goes back to what I was, you know, alluding to earlier. There's a scene where Maddie and Shelby are both like on the end of a dock or whatever, and they're looking into the water and they're out on the lake or, you know, whatever it is. And it reminded me a lot of the Friday the 13th remake, the way that it looked. It just had like this summer like vibe to it. It just kind of really looked like it was, I mean, you know, it had that air about it, like it was, you know, just a summer camp movie, which I really dug. And visually the lake, even though it wasn't, you know, as nice, I mean, before that, it served its purpose before they got to the water park.
So I'm going to be honest with you. The lake, although it looked good, I'm not knocking any points or anything. It looked like it was a studio. It looked like it could have been, well, not Universal Studios because they would have done a better job, but it looked like it was definitely like a stage.
It was smaller for sure. I mean, you could tell that it didn't like, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to it. I mean, I whenever I say lake, it almost looks like a pond if it was anything. I don't know where they were actually filming at, but story, I mean, it's, you know, it's on par with the 3D. I mean, it's, you know, there's a water park that is getting ready to open up for the season. I mean, the piranhas that they're found to be in the nearby water supply, they work up this. The only stupid thing in this movie, in my opinion, it seems kind of like extraneous, is they have to have Christopher Lloyd explain that the piranhas, whenever they were underwater, they sulfur bromide or something like that was like heavily in the water where they were at. So they naturally are attracted to chlorine. So that gives them a reason to fight their way to the pool. It's a bit of a stretch that part of it is.
Well, I think what Dr. Christopher Lloyd said was that it's disorientating them, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and confusing them. So that's why they think they want to go towards that. But you would think the chlorine would have some kind of effect on them more than just making them more rabid.
Well, it's not really he says in the movie that's what whenever they were exposed to that chemical in the underground caverns, that was their spawning pools. So they associate that chemical with spawning, and that's where they go to breed. And he's trying to say that the chlorine somehow is chemically close enough to where it kind of spurs them on in that direction. I don't know. It's a bit much, but once you get past that whole thing, once they get into the actual water supply at the pool, cause they do have like more of a link to the water that they build in quicker at the end. Basically, Chet's been working with the local cop to cover up the fact that he is like tapped into another water supply that's not on like the grid or whatever. And he even tells Maddie right before it happens that he's drilled down even farther so that there's an underground cavern that, you know, he tapped into, which automatically, you know, lets you know that he's tapped into the piranhas, you know, area. So they're going to go directly from that water into the, you know, into the water park. So, other than that, though, it's just a setup so you can see a bunch of people dying in pools at the end of the movie. That's really it. It works. Acting in the movie, nobody's bad.
No.
I mean, it's same as the last one. You don't get any, like, really bad, you know, Z-grade actors like you do in some of the B-movies.
Wait. Question. Did you watch the reels at the end, the blooper reels?
I didn't stay this time for him. I did the time before when I watched it, but it's been a bit. So. Okay.
Well, there's one actress I'm not going to, I'll tell you in a little bit, you know, well, when we're going to reviews, but she was like, get out of the water, you know, to the kid. And he's like, don't worry, mom. Like, I got this. And then, you know, obviously what happens happens. And then the director's like, okay, start screaming. 'Cause the kid falls over. And she's like, she's just standing there. And he's like, okay, you can start freaking out. She's like, ah! I was like, is this what it's like directing people? Like,
the one scene that I thought was a little bit weird in the movie that stands out to me is when Chet's driving away on the little, you know, golf cart looking thing. And he runs through like one of those parade, like, you know, I don't know, strings that they have, you know, that's got like little triangle things on it. And it somehow cuts his head off. Like, I know it's for like shits and giggles, but yes. Like, I'm like, why was that so, like, that stuff breaks, like, you know, pretty easy. Like, why would it be so tight and so, you know, tensile strength, you know, that it would cut his head off? Like, is that part of it, I was just like, okay, that's a little goofy, but that's fine, whatever. You just want an excuse to cut Chet's head off.
Yeah.
You know? And then, of course, his head, I do appreciate this from the director, his head flies up off the golf cart with a big splurt of blood. It goes over a fence, lands in this one stripper's, like, you know, between her tits, She motorboats it before she throws it in the water, and then it gets, you know, like, the fish eat at it, so. So, but yeah, there's nobody in this movie that's like terribly acting. I mean, it's, you know, they're all fine. I mean, you know, they play their parts, even like the cop who's, you know, kind of hitting on Maddie, but at the same time, he's, you know, kind of a scumbag too. I mean, they all play their parts. Music wise, it's got that same generic like pop stuff throughout the movie. It's fine. Actually, I like the music they chose for like the final scene, especially with the little redheaded kid gets like his head bitten off, because it's like played this real cheery song. It's like said something about it's like a good day something like that. And it's just like real cheery. And it's like this fits this movie not at all. Like, I mean, but I love it, you know. And I applaud the director for, I mean, there are certain scenes in this that I think are actually better than 3D. Like that scene with Gary Busey and Clu Gulager when they're like going after the cow, like as stupid as, you know, like a farting cow is with, you know, it's farting out like the piranha eggs.
Yeah.
Like their interaction with each other is better than I would say it's better than the scene with, which is the equivalent scene in 3D where you had Richard Dreyfuss on the boat getting drunk and then like, you know, and getting caught in the whirlpool. I like their interaction better than that. So you want to say anything else, or do you want to wait until the review before you throw in your 2 cents?
The review.
Okay. There's not much trivia for this movie, so we'll get to it. 95% of the film's box office receipts came from overseas. It was particularly popular in Malaysia, as I've said earlier.
That's wild.
Everyone got to keep a piranha fish egg when filming was over.
That's kind of cool.
Most of the actors and actresses were given scuba training. This was particularly useful for Danielle Pennebaker, who was not a very confident swimmer.
Yeah.
Danielle Pennebaker had to surmount her fear of the water while acting in this film. Puppets were used as much as possible for the piranha, and I applaud them doing that.
We appreciate that. And the puppets looked so fucking good.
They did. They really looked good. Christopher Lloyd, Paul Scheer, and Ving Rhames all reprised the roles from the previous film. A chihuahua dog was used for the piranha growls.
Oh, that's awesome.
At the height of its U.S. release, this film played in 75 theaters nationwide, which doesn't sound like a lot.
No, it's not. That doesn't seem like very many.
The opening shots of Lake Victoria as a ghost town were filmed at the Salton Sea in California. The film was intended to take place around 5 or 10 years after the events of the first film and would have shown the fully adult piranhas as implied at the end of the first film.
Oh, okay.
But they went a different route because of, you know, whatever. It was shot in 25 days. They actually built the gun leg for Deputy Fallon in a single night,
nice,
which is pretty cool. Production was stalled in March of 2011, and producer Joel Soisson was brought on board to rewrite the script at that point. Miranda Cosgrove auditioned for the role of Maddie.
Isn't she like from Disney? Like, wasn't she like in the show Victorious?
Let's see, Miranda Cosgrove. Yes, she was definitely a Disney person. Yes, I can just see her
face.
Drake and Josh and iCarly. Yep, that was her. That would have been weird seeing her in the role of Maddie.
Yeah.
Because I was just so used to the kid version of her that I don't.
Exactly.
Because there's several scenes where Maddie gets groped in this movie, and Miranda would, no.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't have been good. Filming was intended to start in January of 2011 in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with a release date in August of that year. However, it quickly became apparent that the weather was simply too cold in that location for that time of the year for a cast that was mainly wearing swimwear.
Yeah.
So had to move it. John Gulager wrote the two songs that David Hasselhoff sings in this movie.
Awful.
Yeah. Love Hunter. Yeah, terrible. This is the first entry in the Piranha franchise to be entirely filmed in 3D.
Okay.
I mean, the last one was filmed in 2D, but converted. This one was filmed in 3D, actually.
Yes.
David Hasselhoff was introduced at an Applebee's restaurant in an earlier draft of the script, instead of being in a hotel room with a couple of hoes. Clu Gallagher, who plays Moe, is the father of the director, John Gulager.
Okay.
According to the director of the first movie, he had intended for the sequel to take place in Thailand with a much larger piranha attack in the third act of the film during a major festival. So,
okay.
I don't know how I feel about that because these movies shouldn't take themselves seriously, and that seems like that would be taking itself pretty seriously in that case. The character of Big Dave, played by Adrian Martinez, died in an earlier draft. In this movie, he just got a fish up his ass, so there's that. An earlier draft featured minor supporting roles from Kim Kardashian and Charles Barkley.
Very unnecessary. I know that these films' claim to fame is to get some popular faces on it. Like, I get that, but no, I'm good. I was good with David Hasselhoff because at first I was like, this is going to be awful. And then it just kept getting better.
I like it. I like him interacting with that redhead kid. He's sitting there and he's just, and that was in the bloopers. I remember that because there were several scenes where he's just like yelling out random lines at the redheaded kid.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start first on this. I think this is a 3.5.
Where would you place this film? Is this an A- or a B+?
It's still in the B+ range, but it's done. But like I said, it's a better movie than the first one. It just, they worked the budget to their benefit in this movie. And I would say that John Gulager understood the assignment that was given to him. It's like, just make a basically a, you know, fun, cheesy romp and like, you know, do your best with it. And his like, I feel like the tone of this one was better. Like, I mean, just as far as like the humor and everything, you know, else, or, you know, like because the scene where Shelby just walks up randomly and says that, you know, all that stuff in one line, you know, about how he cut his penis off and then, you know, and then there a fish came out of her vagina or whatever. Like, she just says it in such a way that like, it just hits you funny because she's not trying to be funny about it, but she says it in such a way that it's like, okay, this is fucking ridiculous, you know? And that's what the director intended. Whereas in the first movie, I felt like they were kind of working the comedy angle a little bit much with some of the characters trying to make it funny. But also like some of the characters were dead serious in 3D, like the sheriff, Elizabeth Shue was dead serious. Adam Scott was dead serious.
Yeah.
I would even say the son was dead serious. It was the characters around them that were like, you know, kind of goofy, especially like Eli Roth and some of the people that popped up in, you know, at the spring break event. But this movie, it was like everybody kind of had, except for maybe Danielle Panabaker and like the guy who played Barry, like her, you know, like wannabe boyfriend.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like kind of in on the joke. Like, yes. I mean, especially like David Koechner, like he's, you know, he's playing that kind of a character. So.
Yeah.
So I think the tone was better. I liked the, the visuals of the fish better. And I like the fact that they kept it, you know, in the water part, because like, I'll be honest, like a lot of, it gets to be a bit much in 3D with all of the stuff that's going on. I mean, it's more, you know, like it's bigger visually, but like whenever all the spring breakers are dying, it's a lot to keep up with. Whereas in this one, it's more contained and you can, you know, and some of the stuff that happens is funnier. Like the scene where at the end of it, whenever the Big Dave blows up the, you know, the pool or whatever, yeah. And then like the trident comes back out of the water and lands in the cop's head or whatever, just stuff like that, you know.
So horrible, but it works.
And the little redheaded kid at the end of it is just like, David, get away from that fish or whatever, because it's like walking on land, as ridiculous as that is. And he's like, Mom, it moves too slow, and all of a sudden it just jumps, rips his head off, starts playing that music in the background. It's a great day or whatever, and like the kid's body just falls over, and they're like you said, they had to tell her to scream, but she's screaming.
Yeah.
All these people are, it's like it cuts to black and white. It shows the kid's body bleeding out. Everybody's freaking out, and it's just like, okay. All right, I get what this movie was going for.
Yeah. Fun fact, when that kid fell over, he legitimately did fall backwards. and right after he landed, he was like, nice. the as my boyfriend said, and he really wanted me to put this on the podcast, the blooper reels were better than the film.
All right, well, I mean, you know, that's... If that's how he feels, that's how he feels. I mean, like I said, I'm in the minority for liking this movie, because if you look on IMDb, it's got very low ratings. But, I mean, I dig what they were going for. Certain scenes don't work necessarily. Like, the girl, the religious girl who's, like, you know, says it's that Jesus forgave them for doing, like, BDSM, and then, like, they both get, like, locked in the van. That you know, stuff like that, but that's so quick and gone in the movie that you kind of forget about it by the end, so.
Yeah, and, like, ultimately, we know these movies were meant to be bad. But were they so bad that they were good? That's the thing, and I don't necessarily think they make it into that category, so bad it's good.
No, they're not like The Room, where literally you're sitting there and you're dying laughing, because it's like, hey, Mark, you know, like, you know, because the acting is so terrible from, you know, like Johnny or, you know, or Tommy Wiseau or whatever, that, you know, that you just can't believe what you're seeing on screen. It's not like that. It's a confidently made movie. So it kind of kills the so bad it's good vibe, and it doesn't quite get there.
It does. Yeah. Or it does not. But that being said, I would give this, because it is a B+ film in our opinion, it's going to get a 3.8 for me. It got only slightly above you because the blooper reels. They were really good.
They are good, and I forgot about them. We kept watching it. I was trying to, like, wrap it up, and I'm just like, all right, you know, I've watched through the movie, but I totally forgot that they had those at the end of it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think it was just rolling, and I was probably grabbing, like, a water or something and just hanging out, and boyfriend's still on the couch chilling, and I kind of hear stuff happening and I hear him laughing, and I go and I look and I'm like, oh my God. And it was good. They did good.
Yeah. If I remember right, the ones with Danielle Pennebaker, like, they wasn't as funny, but, like, you know, but it was like her flubbing her lines a lot and stuff like
she
that.
She flubbed her lines a lot. And the other ones were just, it's hard to explain. It was, like I said, the one where the kid, they're kind of directing the kid. The kid was a way better actor than the mom, and trying to remind her, hey, by the way, your kid's head just got cut off. Start screaming. And it's funny because you don't realize it, because you're just standing there and you are waiting for direction because you don't know your kid's head got bit off. But then it makes sense that they were like, hey, because, yeah, he fell over. Cue the screaming.
Yeah, yeah, so, because they had to, like, splice in, like, the effects or whatever after the fact. So, yeah,
it's a 3.8 for me. Definite watch. I keep saying I'm sorry, but really good in terms of a B+ film, and this coming from somebody who does not like B films, even though I'm a horror fan.
And a lot of people automatically think that horror films are B movies at best. If I mean, even the ones that are, unless they're like just so classic that you can't, you know, say otherwise about them.
Exactly. Which they have the right to feel that way. I'm not gonna judge them for that. Nah, they're wrong.
They can feel that way, but they're wrong.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, they're enjoyable movies. I mean, what's that saying? Wouldn't kick them out of bed if they were eating crackers. You know, that's sort of, you know, how they are. So, I mean,
one thing I wanted to say before we closed out is, we had our return show, and we had quite a few people that were excited that we were back. And I just wanted to say thank you. Like, that was awesome to hear from you guys. Like, hey, we thought you guys died. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for being concerned, because we thought we had died too for a split second.
We thought the show was gone and dead, and it's back, and we are happy. Now, I will remind, scheduling's going to be a little erratic until we get a rhythm back again, but we are not planning on any more long hiatuses. And we will keep them coming, even if I have to. I think I'm going to start posting Flashback Friday episodes, where I'm going to be bringing back some of the older episodes. Please forgive us. We are not a big production. We pay for everything. We are not rich. We are, by all means, pretty low income. And so we didn't know what we were doing when we first started. And, you know, to be honest, we don't know what we're doing now. We're just a little bit better.
No. And we might even change up what we're doing, you know, going in the next season. I mean, depending upon what we decide to do. I think, well, last time we talked about it, it was going to be like vampires and witches. So, yes. I mean,
and we talked about doing video. A lot of you are requesting that, or we're getting a lot of requests for that. Let me rephrase. And yes, I promise you, we are considering it. It's just, it takes money. We don't want it to look generic. And I don't know how to do it. I have to Google and I have to figure out. I do have a lot of equipment for it. In fact, I think I have enough equipment. I could send some to the Reverend where we don't have to buy anything based off of equipment that I acquired from the previous situation. So,
yeah, before the exorcism happened.
Exactly.
All right, folks. With that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.